Freddie Mays.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to.
Yeah. All right, final hour on a Monday. Always happens so much faster than I want it to. Anyway, let's enjoy this last hour together. Lucas Panzeca is back there making it happen. You can join in on the fun if you so choose. 615-737-1045 is how you do so. 615-737-1045 is how that goes down. A lot of things to discuss in this final hour. Haven't talked yet about Titans rookie minicamp. Friday and Saturday is when that took place. They are back out on the field later today with both rookies and veterans. Well, not on the field, but they'll be in the building. OTAs are officially underway. We will not be allowed, the Vultures, the Titans media, like myself, we will not be allowed onto the field until a week from tomorrow. So not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And there was a couple of observations that I brought back for today's show that I think are of some newsworthiness. Now, probably the biggest headline, I think Lucas played it already, the Malik Willis, Ryan Tannehill situation, which I thought he handled. Honestly, I could not have been more impressed with Malik Willis at the podium. Now, winning a press conference does nothing. But for a player who comes from a smaller school, has probably had some exposure to a large group setting of media before, but not quite like that. I mean, obviously at Auburn, there is going to be some stuff, but that depends on the coaching staff, how much the players are exposed to. Players don't have obligations at the college level to media the way that they do in the pros. And he seemed a little nervous initially to get up there because, you know, it can be a little bit of a different setting if you've ever taken a public speaking course, for example, except in this public speaking course, instead of you dictating what you want to talk about for 5 minutes at the podium, you're getting, you know, questions about your competency and your skill set and why your starting quarterback doesn't want to mentor you and things like that. And you're having to Q&A on a rapid rate. And I thought he handled himself quite well.
But he's coming off the draft process where that's basically 90% of it, right?
Different, right? There's no cameras. There's no recorders. You're sitting in a more, I mean, relaxed is probably the wrong term because, you know, having to break down your bad plays with Mike Vrabel kind of chirping at you in the background.
Not relaxing.
Mike in general, not a relaxing person. But yeah, to a degree, you're getting poked and prodded a lot, but still, there's something about getting up in front of a group of people like that with a bunch of cameras pointing at you and nobody really making eye contact at you because they're looking at your face through a phone, trying to take videos and things of that nature. It can be different. But we'll have a lot more time to talk about Malik tomorrow. What I want to talk about today is something that the internet ran wild with. One, because it's a slow news cycle at this point with rookie minicamps. There's not a lot that you're going to pull out of these things. But two, because it kind of stays in line with a trend? Is trend too strong a term to say that there is always something hovering around the Titans' top selection at the wide receiver position? Whether it be Corey Davis and hamstrings, whether it be A.J. Brown coming into his rookie minicamp overweight. I don't know how many people remember that. That was a thing. Whether it be what happened with Treylon Burks on Saturday, which was that his first day did not go to plan. So it was about, 86 degrees is what the car thermometer in my vehicle read. It felt more like 90 out in the sun. And Titans are on the field, the Titans rookies and the tryout players, the undrafted guys, and a couple of, I think there was four players who have been on the roster previously who they invited to participate. So they're all out there on the field at St. Thomas Sports Park. And Treylon Burks couldn't make it through his first day. Now, he was having a hard time in the team drills. He was not doing anything more than the individuals. So it's individual wide receiver work, right? So that's Rob Moore and the assistant coaches, whomever works with Rob and helps Rob orchestrate the drills, putting the wide receivers through their paces, right? They're teaching skills. This is why Mike Vrabel values this time of year so much. And he's, you know, he's breathing heavy. He's clearly overheated. He came back a little later. He had to be taken off the field. He was icing his shoulders, which I've never had heat exhaustion or been overheated at a football practice before, where putting ice packs on your shoulders was the solution. But again, I'm not familiar with all the ins and outs of why that would be beneficial. Perhaps somebody in the audience understands that at a greater level or a deeper level than I did, because, you know, Mike Vrabel's only going to tell us so much. But came back, ran a few routes. He was working one-on-one with Rob Moore, the wide receivers coach, for a little bit. And then it was basically done. There wasn't a lot that happened for him on the field. Now, day two, he was, I thought, perfectly fine. Like, he went through all the drills. You know, now you're getting hyper-analyzed if you're Treylon Burks because you didn't finish day one. So now we're looking at, okay, how many times do you put your hands on your hips throughout the course of a 90-degree, hour and a half long practice on the field? This is something that I think, rightly or wrongly, he looked just a bit out of shape. Now, that's not uncommon. It's not ideal, but it's not uncommon. The thing that caught my attention was the inhaler. And we didn't get an answer on that. But Mike Vrabel was initially asked about Treylon Burks not being able to finish day one of rookie minicamp. And then I had a follow-up about, you know, how common practice that is. This was the Titans head coach. Oh, Lucas will grab that here in just a second. But basically, looking at this, somebody has provided explanation on the ice packs around the neck. Place ice packs against the neck, under the arms, and in the groin area where large blood vessels lie close to the skin surface will help quickly cool down a victim of a heat stroke. That's from Tighten Up Dracaris on YouTube. I don't know that it was a heat stroke, but it's certainly something that they seem to be trying to get his body temperature back under control. Anyway, here was Mike Vrabel at the podium afterwards.
I listen to Todd. We defer, you know, to Todd. So, you know, we got to get these guys in here. We got to study. We got to learn what to do, teach them our program. And, you know, so if he's back out there tomorrow, then we'll coach him up.
You expect these guys to come in shape, but how much is something like that to be expected?
I think it's hard to think that they can recreate, with a trainer, how we do things. And we see that with guys that have come back and started with our off-season program and guys that have joined a few weeks in. It's just different. And I know that they're working and they think that they are trying to get in shape, but that's just not the case. And so that's something that we have to focus on and try to make sure that we're getting some work in. But, you know, with all of them, you know, trying to be as smart as we possibly can, Jim.
So that's not singling out Treylon Burks. You heard Mike Vrabel kind of defer into, we do that with all of them, right? But he did point out, and this is something that comes up, this is why you have to pay attention closely, because a lot of people would get lost in coach speak elements of that. But again, listen to what he's saying. He's saying that, yeah, this is something that happens with guys who get training or have trainers or position coaches or guys who work on skills at their respective positions with them in the offseason that aren't doing it in direct accordance with the Titans program, right? So they do these things in the, what has it been, a month about since the, no, not a month. It's been about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks since the NFL draft has taken place. And Treylon Burks has had an offseason since his college football season ended and training for the combine and things of that nature to work, but not with the Titans program. So he gets here, and I just think it got a bit much for him on Saturday. How much you have to take away from that? Honestly, like, I'm looking at it next to nothing. It's something to keep an eye on, but am I going to give you any grand indictments of Treylon Burks today because he didn't finish his first day of practice? No. Would be foolish. We talked about this on Friday. It's freshman orientation for these guys. Now, would you like everything to go smoothly and for everybody to finish all their drills and to look like potential All-Pro and future Hall of Fame players at every position of all the nine draft picks that you took? Sure, that'd be swell. But it's not typically how it goes. And you see this with rookies. You see this with veterans. Now, something that was brought up, Amy Vining on YouTube says, ever heard of allergies or asthma? Nashville media make a big deal out of every little thing. Well, yeah, but that wasn't disclosed to us, Amy. It's not making a big deal out of it. It's commenting on the thing that we observe. Now, if you make a big deal out of it, that's entirely your own prerogative. I've just told you that I have no intent of making any deal out of it. Was it something that happened? Yes. Was it something that's noteworthy? Yes. Was it something that needed to have a question asked of Mike Vrabel about? Yes. That's not a big deal. That's the reporting on the weekend. Now, there's other stuff that we can talk about. I've got a couple of notes about the player who I thought was the best guy out on the field that we'll get into here in just a second. But allergies or asthma, if that is a thing, which was not told to us, okay. But the heat, as being something that would limit his participation in clear and obvious ways, I that's not an acceptable answer when this is a player who played his collegiate career at Arkansas.
And was born and raised in Arkansas.
Right. And is, you know, regularly running through the woods with dogs and a knife, tipping over wild boar and stabbing them in the head.
400-pound wild boar.
Does he take his inhaler on the boar hunt? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened. All I know is it happened, and we're talking about it. Nashville, I hate the generalization of Nashville media makes such a big deal out of everything. No, I'm literally telling you what I saw on the field. Amy says, not you, sorry. Other media that was out there making a big deal out of it. Okay, fine.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
You want to know who the best player was on Friday and Saturday? I'll tell you next.
The Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Go to springhillac.com.
I saw Justin Timberlake wishing the Memphis Grizzlies a successful season. Wait, is Pilgrimage Fest... We've talked about this on the air before. Is Pilgrimage Fest his thing? I feel like he has some involvement in that.
I don't know enough to say yes or no.
You got very excited to tell me about the lineup for Pilgrimage Fest a couple of months ago, and then I think I asked you that question and we never came up with a follow-up. Anyway, rookie minicamp did take place this weekend. I can tell you who was there and who had great involvement. There was a lot of praise for a couple of players. I'm going to give you one. Well, there's only three defensive players in this draft class. And let me say this, all right, on the front end. There are some undrafted rookie free agents who you guys want to know about. Now, there hasn't been enough interest in them from you all for me to, you know, bring and build out a full segment around the undrafted rookies. And to be honest with you, like, I saw a little bit of them because there were 17 guys who signed undrafted rookie free agent contracts with the Titans right before camp. I think that was Friday morning when they officially agreed to terms. But to get into it, we can save that for later on in the offseason into training camp when there's a little more that we all know about these guys. If you guys want to talk about that stuff, I can figure out a time to do it. It's just there was not enough perceived interest in it for me to spend a lot of time on it specifically this weekend. Now, what I obviously paid attention to was the draft class, right? The nine players, six offense, three defense, and two in particular that caught my eye. Now, the best player at rookie minicamp, on the field, undrafted, you know, camp invite, you know, returning vet of the four players who were on last year's roster that were invited to participate, that were asked to participate by the coaching staff and the draft class. Most impressive player was Kyle Phillips by a mile. He looked the most comfortable out there. He had the most refined route running of anybody at his position. He is certainly slight of stature, but I'm sure for any of you who are paying attention to the reports coming out of this weekend that Kyle Phillips was regarded as the best performer. Now, there were a couple of passes that Malik Willis got to him that were hugely impressive. Do you know who the other quarterback out on the field was on Friday and Saturday? You do, but you may not have it top of mind.
Oh, yes, Quentin Dormady, right?
Yes, who is my age.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize his college career just ended. I was a senior when he got his first start against Georgia Tech in 2017.
Would it be good radio for me to ask Siri into the microphone, how old is Quentin Dormady, and to see what she comes up with? Would that be good radio?
Let's find out.
Okay. Hey, Siri, how old is Quentin Dormady? Yeah, that pause isn't helpful.
No, nope, not good radio.
She couldn't come up with it.
Okay. We have a verdict.
We swing and a miss. Happens every once in a while.
Now we know.
But how were we to find out if not for experimentation? Now I need to look it up how old he actually is, because he's not 28. But I mean, he's gotta be like 24 or 25, right? That's a pretty old rookie coming into the NFL. I know Velus Jones Jr. is another one of those. Do you have an age for Quentin Dormady?
Nope, still working on it.
Okay, apparently they just
it seems to be a mystery.
Chill. Look at this. Oh, a bunch of people in the YouTube chat, Chill Mode, Zach Bunch, a handful of people are saying, I turned on their Siri by saying, hey, Siri. Oh, that's great. All right. So listen, if we maybe a bit that doesn't work on the radio, but is an interactive bit. We figured it out.
Okay. He's 26.
He's 26. So he's your age.
He is my age.
And he's 2 years younger than I am. That is, he was not good. I can say that objectively. And I don't mean that as, you know, a personal attack. I don't mean to make light of that. He just, you know, he wasn't very good. Quentin Dormady was throwing the passes that Malik Willis wasn't. Those were the two quarterbacks that were out there. Malik Willis had a couple of nice plays, but Kyle Phillips was the one that really caught everybody's attention. Now, if you didn't hear the interview that Blaine and Mickey did with Kyle Phillips' wide receivers coach at UCLA, Jerry Neuheisel, who, of course, is the son of Rick Neuheisel, longtime college football coach, and now I believe he works for SiriusXM and CBS in some capacity, yeah? Jerry Neuheisel was on Blaine and Mickey on Friday, and I thought his analysis of Kyle Phillips was exceptional.
He is a true football player. You know, if you have a chance to, and you can go back and watch his highlights, you can actually pause it. And anytime you watch him, he's always equidistant between everybody he's playing against. You know, in zone, we're always trying to tell him to find the fat of the defense, trying to find the open space. Mm-hmm. And every time you pause it, he's exactly where he's supposed to be. His understanding of coverage, his understanding of creating separation at the top of the route. There's a route against LSU, against Derek Stingley, who was a first-round pick, where he left him in his dust. Bennett decided to break a tackle on a spin move and score a touchdown against him on a big upset in the Rose Bowl. But he is a really, really special player. And what you can expect from him is a dynamic returner and somebody who will always be open when he needs to be open. You know, he was a huge third down threat for us, and he always knew how to create separation and create space. And he'll be a guy who will die and die for the Titans, will go out and make plays for you.
That gets you fired up, doesn't it? Go out and die. Well, no, you don't want him to keep his life at the forefront, but yeah. That is something that shows up on film, man. I'm telling you, the LSU game is probably the most famous game that Kyle Phillips played in this year. And of course was a highlight reel on the top corner in the NFL draft, Derek Stingley Jr. That is the kind of stuff that you can see on tape against a high level opponent, and opponents the caliber of not only who he'll be playing in the pros, but within the division, because Derek Stingley Jr. is a Houston Texan and going to be a nice fit, honestly, for Lovie Smith's defense. I put one video out. Well, I put two videos out of Kyle Phillips over the weekend, one on Friday and one on Saturday. And in fact, the one on Friday was taken by was Austin Stanley, my colleague over there at A to Z Sports, who was kind enough to send it to me because I was focused on Malik just for the Friday practice, and then I was wandering around more on Saturday. So Austin took this video of Kyle Phillips, and the footwork, the foot speed is just insane. Utterly insane. Now, I've seen professional wide receivers go through drills before. I've seen Julio Jones do it. I've seen AJ Brown do it. I've seen them look great and incredible doing those kind of things. But immediately, people started quote tweeting it and saying, "Oh, Cooper Phillips or Kyle Kupp." Right? They're trying to turn Kyle Phillips into the Titans version of Cooper Kupp on day one of rookie minicamp, which is, of course, insane. How tall? Because Tomahawk, don't look at the YouTube chat, Lucas. Let's play a game. How tall do you believe Cooper Kupp is?
Ooh, I'm going to guess 5'11".
How tall do you think Kyle Phillips is?
I'm going to say 5'10".
Kyle Phillips is 5'11". Cooper Kupp is 6'2".
Really?
People are doing the tiny white slot guy thing to Cooper Kupp when he's a full-size NFL wide receiver, which is utterly nonsense. He's a big dude. I mean, 6'2 is my size. And, you know, with a little less weight on him than I have. But either way, don't do the Cooper Kupp thing off of one foot speed drill at day one of Titans rookie minicamp. I implore you. Well, I was screaming. What was that, Thursday I did Blaine and Mickey Lucas? And I'm screaming. Blaine's asking me the question about rookie minicamp and who I'm keeping an eye off. And I begged people, please, please, dear football gods, do not do the Mason Kinsey thing to me again this year. Not about Mason specifically, but just to find a random undrafted rookie who you want to turn into this year's Mason Kinsey or Mekhi Sargent or somebody who you fall in love with in the preseason who has almost next to no bearing on the actual success or failure of the football team. Kyle Phillips is not that. Kyle Phillips has legit potential. Kyle Phillips, I think, could be their starting slot receiver come week one, provided that he stay healthy. He was the most impressive player on the field on Friday and Saturday, frankly. And that was the thing that caught my attention the most. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to react to anything from rookie minicamp this weekend. 615-737-104. Oh, somebody had called about Kyle Phillips and then he dropped off. I was just getting ready to take that call. Call back if you want. Donnie D on YouTube says, Buck is acting like people have only seen Phillips in one drill and not watched all of his UCLA stuff too. LOL. People can be excited. I'm not acting that way. You are not you, Donnie, but a lot of you are acting that way. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that I can look at how many views that Kyle Phillips foot speed drill got from Friday at practice. And I can tell you just how much of it was, oh my God, the Titans have a Cooper Kupp. Look at him. He moves better than Cooper Kupp. He's got better foot speed than Cooper Kupp. He's not physically bigger than Cooper Kupp. In fact, it's funny to watch some of the, you know, they do that drill where they put the boxing gloves on and it's ball security. So you're having one assistant coach, they're doing a ladder drill, right? The wide receivers, and they're holding the ball like a ball carrier. And one wide receiver coach will like slap at them with the blocking pad, you know, just to try and recreate contact. And Rob Moore, or sometimes Vrabel, will put on a boxing glove and like swing at the ball and try to punch it out. It's funny to watch Kyle Phillips go through that at his size and then watch Treylon Burks go through that at his size. It's a much different experience. But as far as the obsession with Kyle Phillips is concerned, yeah, that was a lot of people. Can you guess? Let's play another game, Lucas. How many views did my foot speed drill of Kyle Phillips, how many views did that video get?
We're doing this? We're playing this game?
Yep.
20.
20 what?
20 views.
20 total?
Yes.
79,700
congratulations
views of a, well, that's not what I'm, it's not a congratulations. What are you trying to, I'm trying to do a thing. What are you trying to undermine me for?
Everybody clap for Buck.
What the hell is that? That's not what I'm doing.
It's a lot of views.
Yeah, sure. But it's because people are upset. It's not why it's a lot of, I hate you. I hate you. Help me. Help me do the radio show. It's not helpful. That he just fades in the background. He turns his microphone off and nobody can hear him laughing.
I'm just trying to undercut your attempt to plug how many views your video got.
I didn't try to plug how many damn views the video got. I'm saying that people lost their bleep over a video of a wide receiver doing a ladder drill. That's what I'm trying to convey. Not I'm trying to brag about how many views my video got, you jerk. Lucas, Mir says, Lucas, or I want a cookie for the amount of video views that I got. Yeah, okay, fine. Now, defensively, there was an impressive prospect on the field as well. Now, I didn't watch a ton of, well, there's only so much that we can report on, right? I can't tell you all the details because they allow us to stay out there for the full practice, and there are some restrictions on how much we can film and how long or how much detail we can go into on this. But what I did like, Roger McCreary is a fun player. I think he's going to really do well, and I think that he's going to be your competition at slot corner, at inside corner with Elijah Molden right out the gate. I think Caleb Farley, they're going to do their damnedest to make sure that he can start for them on the outside this year with Christian Fulton. But in the slot, I think the competition is between McCreary and Molden. Now, what I enjoyed was watching Theo Jackson out there. Theo Jackson got the first and only interception off Malik Willis that was thrown in 2 days of rookie minicamp. Now, it's just 7-on-7 stuff, and I can't tell you exactly the route pattern the receiver was running that Theo Jackson made the interception on, because that would violate the reporting restrictions. But Theo Jackson made a great play on the ball and had a couple nice plays throughout the course of this. He's learning how to play not the full-time safety position, but he's learning how to play safety in their defense first and foremost. And I thought it was funny because we asked Theo about the interception. I didn't see the jawing on the field between Theo and Mike Vrabel, but according to Theo, that took place.
Yeah, so my guy KG was at corner. He was just trying to, you know, get everybody in, like, you know, high spirits. And then Coach Vrabel was like, you know, cheerleader from Rocky Top. And I was like, okay, cool. So, and then I picked off the quarterback the next play. So, you know, it kind of didn't talk after that. So, you know, it was kind of funny.
Look at the nervous laughter. Yeah, I got to shut the head coach up. And then he doesn't know what to do. So he nervously giggles. But yeah, so his guy KG is Kenneth George, who Vols fans know, a former corner at Tennessee, who, by the way, did sign a contract with the Titans after being a tryout player at their rookie minicamp. So congrats to VFL Kenneth George.
So Vrabel was jawing at George?
Vrabel was jawing at Theo because Kenneth George was getting Theo, like, hyped up to make a play from the sidelines. So I think, you know, Vrabel doesn't really, he's not directing it at them specifically. He's just bellowing like a water buffalo might out on the field. Mike's practice voice is objectively hilarious. It's terrifying if it's directed at you. If it's directed at you, God help you. But yeah, he's just kind of bellowing at people on the practice field, and it's funny that way because I'm 28 years old. I'm learning new cuss words from Mike Vrabel every time I walk out on the practice, and this is now the fifth year of Mike Vrabel on the field. But I really think Theo Jackson is going to be able to find a substantive role here in Tennessee at some point. I don't know that it happens his rookie year. Development and injuries and all these different things will factor into how soon or when he can contribute in a meaningful way. And special teams will, of course, be the focal point that will allow him to earn reps on the field. But when we look at what they lost in free agency, whether it be the offensive line attrition and the turnover that's necessary there, when you look at their secondary, where they are really set for the future outside of Amani Hooker, who's in a contract year, they are that entire corner group, or the bulk of the corner group, being Elijah Molden, Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, and now Roger McCreary, those four guys are all on rookie deals. So you've got a cost-effective solution at one of the most important positions on the football team, given what Jair Alexander just made today. Did everybody see that number? I think Jason and Ramon discussed that a little bit earlier. 4 years, $84 million for Jair Alexander. Just in the same way that you saw the wide receiver market spike. Well, guess what? people have to get paid to stop those guys. So you're going to see the value of corners going through the roof. And the Titans have done well to make sure that they have cost-effective solutions at that position while maintaining high-level talent.
And that's only two so far that we've seen in Denzel Ward and Jaire Alexander get that type of money.
Well, the other ones probably want more. But those are the two. Those are the two that are the top of the market. The guy for the Browns and Jaire Alexander with the Green Bay Packers. Looking at Theo Jackson's fit in this defense, because they play a lot of nickel, which is five defensive backs on the field, and a lot of dime, which is six defensive backs on the field. They play those a great deal on third down, as does the league. It's a very, very much pass-heavy league, and third down, obviously, you're going to see some obvious passing situations. So a lot of nickel and dime defense out there. What they had this year that allowed them to be more versatile with their looks and a little more creative with their defensive game plan, one, the pass rush kicked ass, so that makes all the difference in the world. But two, you had a player in Dane Cruikshank who you could basically leave on an island with the tight end or leave him as the primary party responsible for the tight end position. Dane got a decent contract to go play for the Chicago Bears. And Dane really didn't crack that lineup until his last year here. Core special teams player, but derailed in the previous two seasons. Previous three seasons, because he was a 2019 draft pick. The previous three seasons, there had been different injuries at different points that had kept him from kind of truly realizing his potential for the Titans until the 2021 season. Theo Jackson has the ability to be that versatile player, even if he's not got the same size and the same length as Dane Cruikshank. They're going to look for a tight end matchup, and I think Theo Jackson has the ability within this scheme to do those kind of things. Super early. Going to be a lot more that we need to find out about these players. And again, nobody can predict health. But I think at this point, you really like what they have in this draft class as you kind of fill in the parts and pieces that they need. Now, offensive line remains a question. And how they continue to address that as we see more roster transactions being made, free agents being signed, and cuts coming in the very near future, then we can decide or then we can make true judgments about what that final product looks like. Because right now, I think you have to look at the Titans' offensive line group as just a grade of incomplete. Wrap up the show. Poll questions next. Your phone calls, too. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Just take those old records on the shelf.
Okay. Wrap it up on a Monday. Fun show. If you missed any of it, whether that was Trent Dilfer or Deshaun Watson's Bahama Beach vacation with everybody on the Cleveland Browns, except Baker Mayfield. Actually, we have an update on that. Legit journalism is being done around this story now because, of course, it's the question that's atop everybody's minds. Mary Kay Cabot, who is the foremost Cleveland Browns reporter, at Cleveland.com, Baker Mayfield unlikely to make this Browns offensive trip to the Bahamas that Deshaun Watson is hosting, I'm told. So Josh Dobbs, Jake Brissett, a.k.a. Jacoby Brissett, the other quarterbacks expected to be in attendance, but not old Bake. He's doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something. Such a funny story. Last call for phone calls, if you got them, 615-737-1045. I'm looking. Did we miss anything from today? I feel like there's something that I skipped. I just wanted to say something off the top, and then we'll do the polls. Steeplechase was incredible. 104.5 The Zone, the Champions Corner. That it's Cumulus Nashville, so it's all of our sister stations. That's Super Talk, WTN. That's 92Q, 103.3 Country. Like Nash Icon, it was a tremendous setup. It was really cool to meet everybody who came out there. I know most people were just kind of filtering in and out from the Champions Corner section to get, you know, come get the booze, come get the food, and then, you know, maybe find your own spot or your friends on the railside track. But I want to do that next year. I want to put a hell of a lot more effort. And I want to say that, not put more effort into it. It's not like we didn't put effort into it this year, but it just kind of fell in a weird spot in the calendar right behind the Zone's golf tournament. And I think there was a lot of stuff that was caught up in the golf tournament, and then all of a sudden Steeplechase was right on our doorsteps. But it was a great showing. It was a beautiful, beautiful day for it. I thought we were going to get rained out, and we got super lucky But many thanks to everybody who made that possible. And in particular, I don't know, do we have anything? We don't have anything celebratory besides Stephen A. Smith, do we? I mean, I guess we could use Stephen A. for this. No, I don't really like that. I just want to say that Christian Capozzi, for those of you who don't know who that is, he is one of the people that works in the Cumulus Promotions Department. There was a lot of different circumstances that Christian had to work through. Our main promotions guy, Rich, had a baby. I hope that everything... well, actually, do we know if Rich had the baby yet?
Yes.
Or Rich's wife?
Yep, their second child and Rich's first son.
Excellent. So congratulations to the Ferris family. But anyway, a lot of different circumstance put Christian in a big spot. If you don't know who he is, he makes a lot of things happen around here on the Zone.
And stud.
I just wanted to say a special thanks to Christian, because without him, none of this would be possible. And I hope the people who are directly responsible for Christian's paycheck hear this as well, because he was an invaluable part of what we had going on Saturday out at Percy Warner Park. And that would not have gone nearly as well without him. All right, polls.
Hello, my name is Borat. There is a show in America called Buck Rising. I like very much. As a man named Lucas, like my producer, Azamat Bagatov, would update something called Final Pollings. I'm very excited, very excited. Do it, Lucas. La, 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 la.
It's the la, 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 la.
La, la, la,
la. La, la, la.
Powered by Two Rivers Ford. Custom order any new Ford from Two Rivers. They will deliver it to you when it gets manufactured. Conference finals are set in the NBA. Who wins the Eastern Conference Finals? 66% go Celtics over Heat.
That's recency bias and probably a little Grant Williams love. I think the Heat are a better basketball team. I'd probably take the Heat in, I'll say, six. I bet that's a fun series.
Who wins the Western Conference Finals? 61% go with Golden State over Dallas.
Now, Warriors. Luka, though. Trash-talking the Suns and Devin Booker while he literally kicked their asses up and down the court for a full game yesterday. A blowout in Game 7. Bravo by the Mavericks. For getting to this point, I still think the Warriors are a better basketball team.
Luka, allegedly, according to Pat Beverly, one of the most underrated trash-talkers in the NBA.
I believe it. I believe you can see him out there talking. I listen, more of it. Pat Beverly is somebody who values his trash talk, so yes. I would take Pat Bev at his word on that.
Which Titans rookie are you most excited to see in 2022 after the conclusion of minicamp? 53% say it's the first-round pick, Treylon Burks. 28% go Kyle Phillips out of UCLA. 15% with tight end Chig Okonkwo. And 4% go corner Roger McCreary.
Chig's going to be a fun player. They were working a lot of blocking drills with him this weekend. I think that's the area of his game that most needs to, you know, be solidified for him to be a legitimate contributor in this offense, because that's what they value most. But yeah, I really like what Chig will likely bring to this lineup.
Timmy says Malik Willis, but we very purposefully left Willis out of this poll because, barring injury, you will not be seeing much of Malik Willis.
I'm going to fight you on it through rookie minicamp. I'm going to fight you on it through OTAs. I'm going to fight you on it once we get to the preseason and all of you lose your minds as soon as Malik Willis throws his first preseason touchdown pass. If he plays, it's a bad thing for you this year.
Treylon Burks not finishing his first day of rookie minicamp. Big deal, little deal, or no deal? How about this? 65% say no deal. 27% say little deal. Only 8% say big deal. A measured approach by the 700 voters.
Bravo. Bravo by the 700. I will say little deal just because it's, you know, it's noteworthy and it didn't happen to anybody else.
Scoopman says the overreaction with this is approaching the same ridiculous level as the reaction to Tannehill's "I'm not a mentor" comment.
No, not even close. That led SportsCenter for a week. Relax.
It actually did.
No, straight up. Diana Rossini was at minicamp on Friday. I looked at Diana when we were walking to the facility, and I just said, "Oh, Tannehill must really be bleeped if they're sending you down here for rookie minicamp." Are you kidding me?
It's like the 20th time I've seen a quarterback say something like that, but it got so much run. It wasn't a great couple of weeks when it comes to news.
Slow news day.
What's on the itinerary for Deshaun Watson and the Browns this weekend in the Bahamas? Goody says, me in my head. Don't say get a massage. Don't say get a massage. Don't get a massage. He's definitely getting a massage.
I'm not going to make the joke because it's a serious ongoing legal situation, although the circumstances around that, I think, are something we can still have fun about.
The NFL will be meeting with Deshaun Watson very soon, by the way.
Yeah, oh, about time. Yeah, well, we'll find out whether he's actually going to play. And so this wasted Bahamas trip down to, or this wasted trip down to the Bahamas to find out, you know, if he can create chemistry with his teammates. It's not going to matter if he doesn't play in 22.
Those are the polls.
All right, that's the show. Blaine and Mickey are next. See you tomorrow.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.